So I'll let everybody introduce themselves and then we'll get started.
I'm Mitch Weinstein. I head up ad operations at IPG Media Brands.
Hi, I'm Robert Cross. I work at a WPP horizontal agency, which is dedicated to Colgate Palmolive.
I'm Roseanne Johnson. I'm the executive director of DML New York, and we're a creative agency.
So I wanted everybody to start with just a description of the realities of their side of the business from the standpoint of client demands, production realities, and even how you're measured, how your success is measured by your clients.
I'll start from a creative perspective. Sometimes the creative agency pressures are a little bit at odds with some of the automation and media agency pressures. It's not about fitting into kind of standard units. It's about doing something groundbreaking. It's about doing something that's unique, that's going to gain attention. So a tremendous amount of pressure to break the mold that actually creates efficiency. Our KPIs and our pressures are about how do you break that in order to create and gain awareness and to create excitement from your audience.
Yeah, I think from a media point of view, I think from my side, there's two key areas. One is just what media is here to do. So the first thing are the basics of optimized delivery, right? Our goal is to mitigate our awareness decline with audiences. Right, and we have to continue building it in a cost-efficient way. It's become far more complex in terms of the brand safety issue, and then are we actually sure that the dollars we're spending are being seen by human beings? So that's a big challenge for us. But the third part of it is sitting with an integrated agency, which Red Fuse has all disciplines under one roof, which is quite a rare model in the industry. The biggest challenge for us is working with our partners in creative, in tech, in brand planning, in account, et cetera, and coming up with an integrated product that drives Colgate's goals. So we have quite a broad set of standards that we're held to.
For us, the key things are going to be reaching audiences at scale efficiently. So we do that, you know, through various mechanisms, programmatic, direct buys, anything that we can do with social media. But it's all about reaching our audiences, and it's also about, you know, driving what the goals and objectives are of a particular campaign. If it's getting people into certain locations, if it's getting people to buy things online, to take a survey, download something, whatever it is, it's really all about making sure we're reaching the right audience with the right message at the right time in order to drive that performance and then be able to measure that performance and constantly optimize and reiterate our campaigns so that we can go back and, you know, increase whatever the goals are. So it's a constant cycle to keep, you know, optimizing, staying on top of the latest trends, and driving client goals.
Do you find that there are challenges then working with the creative side of the business to making sure that you get your job done?
Sometimes.
Yes.
You know, one of the things that we've been working on and we're starting to roll out a lot more widely across our clients is the, you know, dynamic creative optimization, DCO, making sure that we're not just, you know, loading a message and hopefully it works against every audience. You know, each audience is different, will respond differently. It also depends on what platform that they're seeing this message in. So it's really important to make sure that we have messages that are constantly optimized and that are engaging the audiences as they should, and that we're getting that data back and analyzing it closely. And that's part of the problem, right? There's just so much data to look at when we you know, get all this feedback. But really it's about, you know, the right message, the right custom message to the right audiences. And, you know, working with creative agencies that can, you know, there's a lot of process involved there in terms of developing the creative production of it, which messages get served to which audiences. So often we have to work very closely with creative agencies on those types of things.
And as far as closing the loop on data, very often creative is on to their next big adventure while we're still collecting data from a previous campaign. So as much as big data is so important for all of us and makes us smarter and makes our work smarter, there's also some opportunities, let's call them opportunities, for us to get better at making sure that the right information comes back into the minds of creative folks as they're continuing to develop new campaigns. So when we talked about it as a panel, the pace of all that is it's so fast and there's so much to ingest that there's definitely optimizations that can happen in that feedback loop.
There's so many different parties involved, the creative agency, the media agency, the client, the technology platform, the ad server, there's a DMP collecting this data. There's just lots of different moving parts, and you really need to do a better job of figuring out how to collaborate and work, you know, across those different areas.
Yeah, and I think that's something that we've been trying to deal with in the last year to 18 months at Red Bees working with Colgate is, you know, we're running advertising in 65 different countries around the world. It's an enormous network of people and capabilities to navigate. And we've gone back to the basics in terms of how do we develop campaigns, because we've seen, you know, disconnect occurring as had been talked about by this panel in terms of just media and creative. But we've gone right back to, are we even aligned on what the brief is about? Right? Are we challenging and interrogating the brief? Are the key stakeholders on the client side signed off on what the problem is with that particular brand or what it is trying to achieve? Because if you don't start there, you're never going to get to the right kind of assets to deliver against that. So we build out a whole program that brings together the different capabilities and allows the different capabilities to understand the roles and responsibilities, and then have a core team of intra-agency capabilities and designated clients making sure they manage that and follow that. And it's something we're piloting at the moment to streamline this and enable us to cut some of our campaign development times by up to 80% to get this out into market across a vast number of countries. So it's been a real learning curve in terms of just the fundamentals of how we build campaigns into these worlds.
And as you can imagine, creative people love to be rushed. So that creates some tension there in terms of there's just an inherent like, well, this is a process and it's creative and I can't rush the thinking. And then there's the media agencies who have to feed kind of that automated process. So there are definitely opportunities for us, I think, to think about going back to the data point, how do we get that right cycle of information coming back so we can help inform the creative process, so we can actually cut some of that. In a world where everything has to happen, it has to be opportunistic, you have to take advantage of what's going on in society to make your creative relevant, that process is definitely sometimes overwhelming.
I mean, that's a really important point. You know, there's different creators work in different environments, right? You know, a 30-second spot on TV doesn't always work as well in a digital environment. And, you know, I think sometimes that doesn't get through that message, you know, in terms of what our clients are trying to do. You know, with Facebook and YouTube just announced they're killing the 30-second pre-roll. You know, Facebook is you know, constantly informing us that our creative needs to be a little different to work in a Facebook type environment. So there's all these different formats and platforms that, you know, we need to get a better handle on and figure out, you know, which types of formats work better in which environments. Because a single campaign could be running in social, and it could be running in programmatic, and it could be running, you know, on a FEP, on a Hulu site or something like that. And each one might require a different type of format. And that's not always easy, right, from the creative development end. But it's something, it's you know, a necessary thing to reach audiences the right way.
I think even from if you think about it, not from an agency perspective, but from a client perspective, they have to manage so many more work streams and so many more outputs and reviews and bringing that through legal. And that's part of the process too, where the agencies can only work so fast. But if you used to produce two or three pieces of creative, and now you have to produce 30 pieces of creative. Think about all the folks that are touching that creative, not just from an agency, but from an internal client perspective. And now, you know, of course you want to run your 30-second TV spot on digital because it's more efficient to do that. But we know, the data tells us, that doesn't work. So that means going back at that piece of creative and creating multiple variations of that, which is why automation helps. but it doesn't remove all of the work, all of the creativity, all of the messaging work that needs to happen.
And I think that's Howard talked about it. You talk about consumer centricity and how we develop campaigns, and a lot of people say it, but it's not always done. So you're talking about automating creative and taking a 30-second spot and putting it on Facebook video and hoping it delivers the same as it may on TV, and that's not the case. And I think one of the big factors that we miss in terms of connecting creative and media is that there are insights. It's not just about the channels anymore, and you talk about right time and right place, but it's also about the individual's need state when you're talking about them, when you're connecting with them. What do they want? Like, what is going to create value in that moment? What is their mood? What are they looking for, right? Now, if they're on their phone and they're out and walking the street, that's a very different user occasion to if they're sitting there on a Sunday night watching some primetime TV. And then one of the biggest challenges we have in terms of media working with the creative discipline is, what are the assets that help build out what is a very fragmented consumer journey now and create value for the consumers then? Because we're not creating value, we're not going to drive our goals.
And that's one thing I wanted to sort of talk about. Is here at this conference, we've been talking a lot about the mechanics and the interoperability of a certain ecosystem, whereas what the agency is dealing with now is delivering to many, many more contexts than television, even multi-platform television. So what's happening on the creative side and the pressures and things like that are really producing some things that are really very difficult to handle. One of the things I wanted to get to was the, from everybody's point of view, is what we're seeing on the agency side is every agency is building a studio now, because the demand for media and advertising in social media is going completely non-industrial and non-professional. They take all professionals out of that chain altogether. They put the millennials in a room with their iPhones, and they're out shooting video on the street with non-professional actors and non-professional editors, and they're getting it up in as fast as they can. And this has become such a big production reality that almost everybody has to get engaged in it now. So just a little bit of a conversation about that from all of your point of views in terms of like how much of a reality that is, and then how do we bring some of these, you know, these efficiency mechanics back into that chain if possible.
It's an important development in our business, certainly as the pressure for multiple pieces of content very quickly just continue. We certainly have our own content studio. We have, as you described, those folks with their iPhones and kind of getting content out there. It really, from an agency perspective, becomes a, how do you sort through the things that you need kind of hardcore kind of creative thinking on versus how do you create some low-cost content as well. So it really is about looking at what you're trying to do. The other dynamic of this that is actually, it requires us to educate clients is just putting content out there without understanding how it's working, without putting media behind it. Social media used to be a place where you could put free content and millions of people would see it. Now if you're putting social media content out there and you don't have any media dollars behind it, you're yelling into an empty room. So some of that's an education process of trying to have clients understand that used to be up looking at your tweet deck and seeing all this happen. The rate of how social media and the reach of social media without paid dollars behind it is no longer free advertising. So I think those content studios started when that idea of feeding the social beast was part of that. But now it's about an education process of how do you still create that great, timely, kind of low production content, but you do it in a way that's strategically aligned to what you're trying to do overall.
Yeah, I think from a media point of view, it sort of touches upon three areas. One is context. We go back to what's the purpose of the content in the consumer's life, right? Like if we're producing low cost, often short form content, then where does it create value? And so you need to identify that before you start talking to the client about whether it has value. for them. The second thing is the consumption of it. Like, it's short form. It is instantly disposable unless it has, you know, that hook that people want to start sharing. As Roseanne said, that is less of a phenomenon now because social media is not so much about community and just putting it out there and getting a lot of free impressions. So you have to think about how long people are going to consume it for and why they consume it, but also where's it coming from? Like, is it coming from the brand or is it coming from a third party who's speaking on behalf of the brand or partnering with the brand? Or is it someone completely independent who's doing something with your brand's material? Like, all of those different individuals have different levels of credibility, and that all depends on who your target audience is. And then the third thing is measuring this stuff too, right? So there are, obviously, the way we can measure digital has advanced massively in the first few years, in the last few years, sorry, but the ability to measure short-form content and what it's actually doing in terms of shaping your brand is difficult unless you've got very, very sophisticated, very fast turnaround data capabilities to do that.
So our, you know, our studio is not really set up to supplant a creative agency. It's more, like I was talking about before, about dynamic creative optimization, where it's about the production work that goes into creating, you know, multiple versions of a message and then being able to tie that to audiences and managing data feeds and seeing how that, you know, how those different audiences react to the different types of messaging. So it's really more a production arm of, you know, of working in collaboration with the creative agency to get the, you know, the core assets of any type of digital creative, and then being able to build those on the fly depending on the audiences, which is, you know, it's a complex process dealing with the different technology platforms, managing it, managing the data feeds, and then being able to analyze the results. So that's where our studio is generally focused.
Then I sort of wanted to pull this all back around with the idea that there is this like massive fragmentation, everything's all over the place, but it seems to have all been starting to be pulled back together through a really big performance metric, which was ad blocking. And ad blocking all of a sudden brought, you know, the idea of user-centered design into the advertising world in a really massive sort of way. And so now we have some standards that are starting to emerge that are helping the delivery side of the business focus on and create better consumer experiences, and that's finding its way back through the chain into creative. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that, about how things like Lean are starting to affect your lives, and how that could actually also be optimized to try to get those kinds of concerns that are seen, let's say, on the measurement side of the business back into the strategic and creative development side of the business. Maybe starting to finish.
Yeah, sure. So I think, you know, for Lean, it's an acronym. The L stands for light, and that's probably the most important piece, because ads are getting heavier and heavier. There's an article in Ad Age today about how, I forgot the exact percent, 40% of ads are, you know, 5 megs or more. I don't know, a lot of you saw that, but it's a ridiculous
like
amount.
Heavy ads.
It's a ridiculous, especially with mobile, when people are not connected to Wi-Fi. Like, it's just a bad experience. It just doesn't make sense in the digital world. So, you know, we're working with our clients to let them know that, you know, they need to inform their creative agencies about this, and we're working, you know, with the creative agencies where we have a good relationship as well, to, you know, sort of engage them on this topic, where ads really should not be as big and as heavy. Sometimes you can get your message across in a very simple, lightweight banner, which can be just as effective as a big 5 meg, you know, rich media type execution. So we're focusing on that. Part of the issue also is just the need for a lot of different measurement, which requires additional ad tags and pixels on top of our ads that weigh them down. Things like verification and research and analytics and DMP and ad choices. And, you know, before you know it, you're sending an ad tag and it's got 6 or 7 additional pixels riding on top of it, which can also weigh down the ad. So I don't have an answer for that, but, you know, there's, you know, we're working closely with our different ad servers that have integrations directly with some of these platforms to, you know, to get the measurement without additional pixels, things like that. So I guess maybe that is an answer or a solution. But that, you know, there's all these different factors, the actual weight of the creative asset, along with all the different measurement tags that go along with it, need to be appropriately managed and, you know, and reduced in order for the ads to serve properly.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, it's a little more straightforward because I'm not involved in the production side of it, but I mean, overcoming ad blocking is absolutely fundamental to the success of any media campaign in terms of our ability to deliver audience. And obviously viewability is becoming more and more challenging in this world as we enter the world of brand safety. So ad blocking is an initiative that will help us in terms of getting more efficient delivery of our audiences, certainly.
And from a creative perspective, for us, we feel the pressure to say we create better ads, if we create more interesting ads, if they're relevant and providing some value as opposed to being disruptive, that's an opportunity for us to, while getting our brand's message across, also keeping people's minds open to receiving that message.
I think also you have to engage publishers in this conversation, right? If you go to a lot of different sites, you will see some very ugly ads. I mean, there's still, you know, 20 years into this business, you're still seeing ridiculous ads that you know, that just ruin a website's credibility. So you need to, publishers need to be part of it, need to be selective, or, you know, a little better choosing how, what ads they're accepting. You know, if they're running programmatic ads, they can still have, you know, say in what ads they're willing to accept and which advertisers are a good fit for their sites. But in some cases, it's just, those are the types of experiences that send people right into the arms of the ad blockers. Like, they don't want to see those ads. They're ugly. They're sort of no value, and they're done with them. So, hey, why not just install my ad blocker and never have to see them again?
Well, right, sort of like an interesting.
And just something to interject here. You know, Mark Pritchard of Procter & Gamble talked at the IAB conference a couple weeks ago, and gave us this dichotomy of craft versus crap. And we have to get into that conversation of if we keep putting crap out there, we are going right into the hands of the ad blockers. The other piece to this, and you know, and Mitch, you talked about it, is, you know, the great thing about standards like Lean is it makes everybody have some skin in the game. And you know, I'm standing here right beside Alana because I think that the publishers and the vendors in the marketplace have a much more important role now. And I wanted to just sort of get your, you know, get Alana's perspective and have her sort of have to offer some input here.
Yes, thank you, Harold. Quickly, because you have a panel on the stage. But from the Lean perspective, I do agree with Mitch. It's not just the agencies and the advertisers, it's also the publishers. It's also the affiliates, because a lot of the ads that are coming through that are horrific, I won't name any names, are coming from not agencies. They're coming from networks in some cases that are being built. And they're flashy, shiny monkey, punch the monkey. That was my favorite one back at Right Media. So I think it behooves all of us to have the conversation, be it on the 30-second spot conversation, which is a whole other issue, down to the level of the banners. But the Lean program, we have Lean scoring, we have Lean weight, file weights, and we'll talk more about that not right now, but I think that it's important for all of us to have that conversation together.
I also think mobile has just exacerbated this whole problem. So we went from desktop to mobile, so basically for the ad formats, we just shrunk everything. We didn't think about how people utilize mobile. And I just started noticing, I don't know why, but in the last few weeks, just noticing more and more interrupted formats in mobile again, which is the most personal, most engaged media communication we have. And we're just pissing people off with this stuff, right? So you're dead right, but where this is going.
Oh, you got a question?
It's more of a comment. When you said you have to play sort of on the same team as the publishers, I think you're absolutely right about that. Right around New Year's, I noticed a new trend on the three following websites that I visit, CNN.com, FoxNews.com, and also the Huffington Post, and I think they're just representative of many. They've started this incredibly annoying thing of auto-playing video whenever I visit an article. This is shoving content down my throat. It happens on the mobile site and on the regular desktop site as well. is there any wonder that people then also get annoyed when you're shoving advertising down their throat? So publishers really have to think about the elegance through which they're presenting their content and making the advertising appear properly inside of that. It's not just about the ad itself and the creative and the agency. It is very much about the whole content publishing process. And yes, it's infuriating.
I totally agree with you about that. We are deprecating that. And so I'm public enemy number one right now because we are turning off or banning autoplay video in our next ad portfolio, which is out in public. And we're still debating that, but yeah, I agree with you.
It's just sort of interesting to see that Netflix now autoplays previews when you're scanning, which, so I'm wondering if there isn't some research out there that says autoplay works, whether anybody hates it or not. but I think
the point you raised goes back to one of the issues we were talking about earlier, which is better connectivity with media and creative, right? So the majority of videos in a mobile format run in autoplay, right? They also, most people don't have the sound on their phones, right? They turn it off. So we're all producing ads with sound to help educate or entertain consumers, and they can't hear the stuff. And this is a learning for how we develop assets. Is you're going to run mobile video, you've got to do it without sound, basically.
Question: one of our clients, a big ad agency in Los Angeles, is now talking about having to compete against BuzzFeed and others who are offering creative buying eyeballs on their platform. How is that affecting you, and how do you combat the very scary trend of creative storytelling being sold by the pound or being sold as a pure commodity with no residual value other than eyeballs?
Definitely from a creative side, it creates pressure associated with the work that we produce, and we do feel like there is a role for the BuzzFeeds of the world in terms of producing content, and that's where it goes back to looking at what your business objectives are, what you're trying to do. Are you putting content out there just to put content out there, or is BuzzFeed actually in their environment the best person to produce that content? So I think it's not new, certainly. It's something that I think for the past 5 to 7 years, the industry, and especially agencies, have felt competitive pressure from media partners. And I think if you just kind of go back to your business objectives and think about the role for that, the BuzzFeed content probably works best on BuzzFeed, but can you actually take that and put that somewhere else? That becomes where the opportunity is. And it really is about thinking, where do you need a specific creative point of view like BuzzFeed, and where do you need kind of a broader point of view for creative that can work across different platforms?
For our clients, you know, BuzzFeed might just be one part of a larger media campaign, so whatever solution they're offering has to be scalable, you know, and it has to be measurable across each of the media partners that we might be working with. It can't just be, you know, an isolated type of engagement. So, you know, when we look at our media, we're looking at, like, you know, all of our different media partners. So in some cases that might work from the media agency perspective, in some cases it might not make sense because it's just isolated to one partner.
I think we're out of time, but I just wanted to say I wanted to thank the panel. And when I continue this conversation, just let you know that we on the agency side, the 4As and the agencies, we are committed to this dialogue, this multi-party dialogue. So we really want to be a part of the process and get more involved, because there's a lot that we still have to learn.
Thank you.
So I realize I'm the only thing standing between you and margaritas, and Guy, we've got lunch and margaritas around the corner.
Jenny, yes.
So let me just wrap up with one, you know, I'm quoting Mark Pritchard a lot this morning because I just think that Mark is setting an agenda for our industry as the chief marketing officer of Procter & Gamble and as the chair of the Association of National Advertisers. Again, I'm quoting back from what he said at the IAB conference. We have an antiquated media buying and selling system that clearly has not been built for the current technology revolution. Interoperable systems, are a key to innovation. And we have this is a conversation that our industry needs to engage in and be active in. So I look forward to continuing this conversation. I look forward to continuing the conversation around the corner at lunch.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Errol. Thank you, everyone, for spending the morning with us.